But what now? I wish it were so. How do we move forward in this year? Ecclesiastes tells us that there... Sorry, with songs and... You guys got me tore up. I was punchy when I came in this morning because I was lacking sleep. Now I'm like crashing with... You guys are giving me a... Anyways, bear with me. So Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time, there is a purpose under time for every purpose under heaven. 2020 was no exception to this rule. And as time went on, many of us began to count down the days when we thought this whole mess would be over. We count down days when quarantine would end. Excuse me. We count down the days when the property would be sold on Walnut Street. We count down days when an election would happen. Now we're counting down days for construction to be done. And it's interesting how when the expectation of change is good, we can't wait for it to get here and the newness to begin. Yet when the change that is happening is not good, we can't wait for things to return to normal. However, the nature of change itself seldom represents a return to the way things were. And if you're one of those that is hoping for things to return to the old normal, I really hate to break it to you that we must accept that we are in a new reality. There may be some things that do go back to quote-unquote normalcy, but very much has changed and changed for here on out. And I have to be honest in telling you that I'm thankful for a lot of the changes that have happened in 2020. A time when finances were becoming tight for everyone, and many people, many businesses, many churches wondered how they would pay their bills. We were able to consolidate to one property. I'm also thankful that in a time when in-person church attendance is declining, that we haven't built a building to house pre-COVID numbers, creating more of an expense. We've been given an opportunity to survey the ever-changing needs of this Graham community. What happened in 2020 has positioned us to navigate this new mission field, exploring possibilities, how God desires to use this land to minister to the needs of the community, possibly by partnering with the schools and local businesses. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, please turn with me to the first chapter of Acts. I'm going to start in verse 9. So, first chapter of Acts, verse 9 says, "And after he had said these things," meaning Jesus, "he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Talk about a time for much change and a loss of normalcy. I mean, since the day the disciples met Jesus, their world was turned upside down. They spent 3 years with Jesus, eating, sleeping, traveling, preaching, ministering, learning. They were being trained and equipped to take the gospel into the world. And although what they pictured the future to be looked quite different than what God had in mind. So when Jesus was crucified again, their world was turned upside down. Then he arises from the dead and they think, cool, the plan is back on. All except Peter, who decides that maybe it's time for him to return to his trade. Yet Jesus calls him back and instructs Peter to shepherd his sheep. Okay, so the plan is back on. And Jesus is with us. All is good. Until we get to this portion of Scripture. Jesus commissions the disciples and then ascends to heaven. They're left there staring at the sky. And I guess by this time they've gotten used to life not being normal. By now it's obvious that life with Jesus is different. So what's next? They return to Jerusalem and everyone gathers together to pray. This is one of those times when I wish Luke would go into greater detail about what was going on. Maybe add a little bit more description, like who prayed? How'd they pray? How long did they pray? But what does the passage say? These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. So who prayed? These. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, Judas, the son of James, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, all of them. And how did they pray? With one mind. How long did they pray? Continual devotion. Now, when we think of devotions nowadays, we think of a page from our daily bread. However, here it represents something more closely to the definition of love, of loyalty, of enthusiasm for a person, for an activity. And I'm certainly not criticizing these daily breads. I truly believe that it is an excellent resource. I encourage you to grab one and keep it on you. Make use of it in your personal prayer time. Treat it like it is the only bread that you will have that day. Chew on it slowly and savor it. There is much wisdom and truth in these. And there's actually, I'd forgotten as I was looking at this morning, For those of you that like to follow Bible reading plans, there's Bible in a year at the bottom. So if you never grabbed one of these, like again, I encourage you, they're over there. So anyways, personal secluded time in prayer is important for the life of the believer. Also, as referenced earlier, united prayer is important for the life of the church. I mean, we are all familiar with how the gospel was spread in the early church. And if we just turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Again, continually devoting themselves to prayer. Paul is no different in his letters. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And to the Thessalonians, excuse me, he says, pray without ceasing. So as I've reminded you in past messages, God is always present and at work. And we have an incredible opportunity to join Him. We definitely don't want to miss this. Tom Rainer, in his book, The Post-Quarantine Church, says, prayer was not a mere formality or a routine ministry. It was such a priority that it consumed the members of the first church. The power of this congregation would be not human-centered, but it would be God-directed. So as we look forward to this new year and all that it may hold, let us be found continually devoted to prayer. I'm aware of times when organizations that I've actually been a part of had their board meetings and they prayed and fasted over important, hard decisions that God would give them the direction they needed. They were able to come to an agreement without the stress of heated arguments because they were united in prayer. I remember one story of where they were trying to decide between two options and they kind of did a silent vote. Okay, you write option A and write option B down, and everybody put it in the center, you know. And they had been praying and fasting over this. And when the tallies were gathered together, the same option was on everybody's mind. Praise be to God. So when followers of Christ practice the habit of being united in prayer, the path to follow becomes clearer. As Scripture reminds us that while we make our plans, the Lord directs our steps. In Isaiah 58, it says, "And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." But we must be abiding in the one who provides living water. I think of the many people in our community that need to know Christ, that need to be free from addictions and and we sit out here like the Jacob's well, wanting to share the living water that we have. But we're going to have to carry it, draw from the well and take it into the schools, take it into the community. I don't know where each of you are in your own prayer life, but maybe some of you think that I'm clueless, and maybe others are irritated because you think I'm pointing at you, and I'm not. In all honesty, this is as much for me as it is for you, if not more so. There have been several kairoses this past year. If you remember that Greek word that Pastor Josh and I have used to signify an interruption or something that makes you pause to notice what God is trying to show you. So as life was shut down last year and we were put into quarantine, I couldn't help but notice the rest and how welcoming that was. I started to study the background of the Sabbath and how important it is to keep a Sabbath and what God intended that for us. When I first received the news that Pastor Josh was leaving, it awakened me to a love I had for my brother and how thankful I was to have someone disciple and mentor me, which has given me a desire to intentionally disciple others. As more and more changes and transitions were needing to be made for our congregation, I realized more and more need for us to join together in prayer. As always, the church is open daily from 8 a.m. to 9-ish. Sometimes 9-ish turns into 11-ish. But then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we have time for corporate prayer. And I realize these times may not be convenient for everyone. So I wanted to provide you guys with another opportunity. This one you can do wherever you're at, literally. Katie and I did this several years ago, and we were talking about it last night with Kevin and Jamie, how we used to set an alarm on our phones for, and it was like, at that time it was like 9 p.m. This was like a huge endeavor for us because I was sharing it with a lot of friends. I had many people participating with me in this that to stop at 9 p.m. and pray, even if it's just for a minute. You can go longer if you want, but to be united as a body in prayer at the same exact time. And we had it set out because I have friends and colleagues all over the country. So depending on your time zone, for us it was 9 p.m. I think that's why we did 9 p.m. so that others could be earlier and not too inconvenient. So what I'm professing that we do is give you two options, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. every day. Set an alarm on your phone. You don't have to do them both. You can do one or the other. But make it a habit to be in prayer, and in all of us as a church body, to be in prayer for this congregation, to be in prayer for this school, our community, our country. I know we definitely want to pray for our country and everything that's going on. But realize we've been planted here, and this is where we really need to cultivate a lot of prayer and figuring out what our role is in God's mission out here is. He's got great plans for us out here. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But we have to be in tune to His voice. A neat thing about when Katie and I was doing it, and this is something that, you know, could work for you guys also, is how our grandchildren would get used to the alarm going off. And So when it would go off and they would say, is it time to pray? Like, yeah. And even now recently, one of my alarms went off and Alice, my granddaughter, says, is it time to pray, Papa? Like, sure. It says, take my medicine, but that's medicine I need. So, but as I said, that the church has those times that are open, and that so as I offered you these times, feel free to come in too, or contact Pastor Vicky or I if the church is not quote unquote open on a certain time. We'll meet you out here, or we'll meet you anywhere. But let's be a church. Let's go into 2021 devoting ourselves, uniting ourselves in prayer, praying for each other, praying for the leadership of this church. I know we're getting into that mode where we're going to be changing leadership, and I know several are probably rejoicing, Leslie, about going off. And then others are entering into this new reality. Because church looks a lot different than what it has before. Leadership in the churches looks a lot different than what it has before. Meetings become more frequent, longer. Even at the drop of a hat, because of where we're at. So, I just want to encourage you, be in prayer. And I want to close with a prayer from a prayer book that I have that is just good. So, please bow your heads. Oh God, most high, most glorious, the thought of your infinite serenity cheers me, cheers us. For we are toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed, but you are forever at perfect peace. Your designs cause you no fear or care of unfulfillment. They are steadfast as the eternal hills. Your power knows no bond, your goodness no stint. You bring order out of confusion, and our defeats are your victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We come to thee as sinners with cares and sorrows to leave every concern entirely to you, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in our heart. Let us live near the great shepherd and hear his voice. Know its tones. Follow its calls. Keep us from deception by causing us to abide in the truth, from harm by helping us to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give us intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into us by experience the things we know. Let us never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that we may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help us, for we are often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars our confidence. Sin makes us forget you. Let the weeds that grow in our soul be cut out at their roots. Grant us to know that we truly live only when we live to you, that all else is trifling. Your presence alone can make us holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in us, gracious Heavenly Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.